at 8 o'clock. The meeting of the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee will come together. It is now 8 a.m., Tuesday, March 7th, in State Capitol Room 124. Our members present: Representative Westlake, Representative Tallarico, Representative Rauscher, and myself, Representative Fansler. I should note that we expect Co-Chair Parrish to be here in about 5-3 seconds, and also Representative Sadler right in before Co-Chair Parrish. And Representative Drummond is excused until 9:30 a.m. We have a quorum to conduct business. Please take this time to silence your cell phones for the duration of the meeting. All right. Thank you very much. Before we begin, I would like to thank Lori Rowland, the House Community and Regional Affairs Secretary, and Alex Giudice from the Juno LIO for making sure we have sound and a transcript of our committee meetings. My committee aide, Joe Yorty, is here to help with any member needs for this committee meeting. We have one order of business today: consideration of House Bill 148, Version A. This is the only committee of referral, so it is my intent to hold this bill for at least a second hearing. We have the bill's sponsor, Representative Chenault, and his staff, Mr. Tom Wright, here to discuss the legislation and to answer any questions from this committee. Representative Chenault and Mr. Wright, can you please come forward and put yourselves on the record, and then you may begin your presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. For the record, I'm Representative Chenault. I represent House District 29 on the Kenai Peninsula. Mr. Chairman, before you today, you have House Bill 148, and what it seeks to do is expand the authority for second-class boroughs to exercise the local option of creating a non-taxable service area to provide emergency services along state highway corridors not covered by existing emergency service areas. In particular, this legislation would enable the Kenai Peninsula Borough to establish a service area for coordinated coverage for the almost 90 miles of heavily traveled Seward and Sterling highways that are not within the current boundaries of an established emergency service area. This bill could also affect a number of other second-class boroughs within the state. Those other boroughs besides the Kenai Peninsula are the Aleutians East Borough, Fairbanks North Star Borough, Ketchikan Gateway Borough, the Kodiak Island Borough, and the Matanuskas of Sitna Borough. In the case of the Kenai Peninsula, subject to borough assembly approval, the municipal government could use a portion of the federal payment in lieu of taxes or PILT allocation to cover the cost of providing the highway corridors travelers with life and safety response services. So, Mr. Chairman, that is kind of an overview. I believe we have either Larry Pursley or Mayor Navarre online from the Kenai Peninsula Borough to try to answer any questions. Also in your packet, there's a map of the area that we're currently talking about. And it shows a number of the accidents over, I'm not sure what the time frame is, but over the, from January 15th to December of 16, the number of accidents that have been responded to in those areas. So, Mr. Chairman, we're here to try to answer any questions you may have, and I'll open it up to questions.
Thank you, Representative Chenault. And before I do continue, it was my mistake to not recognize Representative Knopp, who has also joined us in this room. Thank you very much, Representative Knopp, for being here. And let's start off with questions with Representative Rauscher.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Co-Chair Fansler. So, through the chair, Representative Chenault, do the folks in the service areas that we're talking about, do they pay taxes now?
Both.
borough taxes.
Mr. Chairman, Tom Wright for the record, staff to Representative Chenault. If you're in a service area, yes, you would pay taxes for the most part.
Follow up. Do they pay taxes now before they are before this bill takes place? In other words, are they actually being taxed at this time?
Representative Rauscher, through the chair, currently I believe at this time this section of road that we're talking about has no no one that lives on that road, so they don't pay. And we can ask the borough people, but I don't believe that they pay any taxes because there's not a service area currently in that area. Currently, what happens is you have areas like Cooper Landing and Moose Pass that are basically volunteer fire departments. They service some of these calls as they have people available.
Through the chair?
Yes, follow-up. Representative Rauscher.
So are we expanding, are we kind of expanding the borough area?
Representative Rauscher, through the chair, we're not expanding the borough. The borough is currently encompasses the area that we're talking about.
Through the chair? Follow-up.
Follow-up, Representative Rauscher.
So, I guess I'm just trying to understand all this. That's all I'm trying to do. And I probably have a couple more. So basically what I understand now is they are in the borough area and that they are not paying taxes now, and that if the borough was to incorporate them in a special service of some sort, they would have to start paying taxes?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Rauscher, through the chair, currently I believe the majority, if not all of that land, is federal forest land. So there are no residents in those area, in this area that we're talking about, and that pay a current tax.
Through the chair, let's get out of Sterling. And just go to the rest of the state where you had mentioned other boroughs in your dialogue. But so is it possible that they have people in areas that aren't paying taxes that will be paying taxes now that might not be federal areas? Or I'm just trying to understand what kind of areas we're incorporating into this service area and the reason for it.
Mr. Chairman, Tom Wright again for the record. If they are living, first of all, there are no people living, you know, in these federal areas. Most of the land that there are the service areas that the Kenai Peninsula Borough is proposing is along federal land, and they receive PILT payments to, you know, cover costs, whatever the borough may or may incur. What this bill does is create service areas along state highway corridors by ordinance, provided that no voters reside within the service area boundaries and no new taxes are levied for the service area.
Until? Excuse me, Chair. Until they're levied for the area, is that what you said?
No new taxes are levied for that service area because there are no residents living along those corridors.
Okay. So, all right. Then I guess there's just one more question that...
Follow-up, Representative Rauscher.
Thank you. Through the chair. When you say optional, is it who's involved in the option? In other words, is it just the borough itself, or is the federal government, since it's federal lands, who's all involved in deciding the option?
That would be the borough, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Representative Rauscher. Representative Sadler.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm sharing sort of the same questions. My model is that there's a road service area, then people who live in that road service area pay a little bit extra millage, and they get services, and that's where we're kind of having a little challenge getting our heads around it. So, again, this would not tax anybody who lives there because nobody lives there. So the question I'll ask is the federal payment in lieu of taxes, under what specific program is that available, and how much money would that generate? And I've got a couple follow-ups, too.
Currently, through the chair, Representative Sadler, the money is generated through a federal PILT. It wouldn't generate any more money by making this a service area. This would allow them to be able to use that PILT money to fund emergency services along that highway corridor.
Follow up? The question was, how much would it generate? I mean, so there's money going to the borough now? There's money available that's not being harvested?
Representative Sadler, through the chair, currently the borough receives federal PILT money for the federal land that the highways go through. I don't have that dollar amount. You would have to talk to either Mr. Persley or Mayor Navarre.
Okay.
They currently receive that now, and they use that money. And Gary, Representative Knopp here, or Knopp may have a better idea, since he sat on the assembly, where that money is being spent currently.
Any that question through the chair to Representative Knopp? How much?
To the chair, Mr. Sadler, Representative Sadler. So,
Representative Knopp, can you put yourself on the record?
I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Representative Knopp, I represent Kenai Soldotna District 30 down there. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Sadler, so PILT payments, payment in lieu of taxes we receive in timber receipts, federal government, I'm not exactly sure the number, Mayor Navarre can answer that, but it's a few million dollars we receive, goes into the general fund of the borough. And Mr. Chairman, if I could answer a couple Representative Rauscher's questions there. So typically service areas are created by a vote of the people and the boundaries are defined. And the purpose of them service areas, as you mentioned, are road service areas, fire service areas, recreation service areas. And they put the vote of the people, and there's a proposed mill rate in there, and they get the vote on creating that service area and fund what they deem as necessary. In this particular, and so service areas under current statutes are only created by a vote of the people. That's it, period. So in this particular case, we're asking to expand them powers in statute, because what we have here is from Sterling area, the Kenai Borough goes clear over the pass to almost Portage as the boundaries. In that particular area along the highway corridor, there are no services, and as Mr. Representative Chenault pointed out, there's 100 and some accidents there over the year, 2 year period, as you see on your map. So our Cooper Landing Fire Department has typically serviced that along with Hope, but they're volunteer organizations and have some time trying to keep their structure together, and so our Central Emergency Service Area responders have filled in under a mutual aid agreement, so to speak, first responder type scenarios. And so what we're asking is to allow the borough to have the powers to create a new service area along the highway corridor, DOT right away, so to speak, where there are no residents to tax. There's no personal property. Mr. Representative Rauscher asked about taxes. Everybody with private property pays taxes down there. The seniors have exemptions. But this particular proposed service area does not incorporate any private properties. Therefore, there is nobody to tax to fund this particular portion. It's pretty rural. Very few residences along there. So, and their challenges in the borough is providing emergency services up over the pass and the other side and that part of Hope. So.
Representative Sadler for follow-up, then Representative Tallarico, Representative Rauscher, and Co-Chair Parrish.
Great. Appreciate the background information. That I understand it sounds like a good idea and a novel approach. I got lots more questions about how much money would be spent in this, what kind of services would be provided. But the question I'll ask right now is, so what happens if the bill were to pass, the borough would create this road service area in an unpopulated area, and someone decides to obtain this private land somehow, whatever. Does the presence or the addition of a voter resident in the area change it? Does it queer the RSA somehow?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, this is a highway corridor. There are no private, so the state would have to give up the right-of-way, which won't happen. And not much money is proposed being spent. I'll let Mayor Navarre speak to that. I spoke to him about that. Pretty minimal. Some support for ambulance services, maybe some training, but pretty minimal dollars amounts.
I'll yield.
Okay. Representative Tallarico.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is a little bit of deja vu all over again for me, being from a home rule borough. So maybe you guys can just respond to this. I think you probably, these volunteers already respond out here and do that. And the problem that we had in my borough, which I think is probably similar, is we needed a clear definition on where these people responded so that their insurance was good. Our departments weren't going to spend any extra money. They were already responding. If I'm hearing this, you already have the response out there. This would just clearly define for these people where their service area goes and make sure that that everyone's aware of that and everything that they have in place would be covered. Is that kind of where we're? I know that's what, and I hate to make the comparison, but that's what we did. So I would assume that this just really kind of cleans it up and gives it a good definition.
And Representative Tallarico, through the chair, it's true. Most of our departments have mutual aid agreements. Mm-hmm. And, I'll let Mayor Navarre speak to that issue, but I think that they're really pushing the envelope, calling some of this mutual aid because there really wasn't.
Sure.
They really weren't doing it. They were responding because they were the only ones that would could respond.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Representative Rauscher.
Yeah, thank you. You had mentioned an acronym, a kind of money. I think it was that PILT money, is that what you call it? What does the acronym stand for?
And Representative Rauscher, through the chair, it's Payment in Lieu of Taxes.
Payments in Lieu of
Taxes. It's called PILT.
And it comes from?
Through the chair.
And it comes from?
Representative Rauscher, through the chair, it comes from federal timber receipts.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Parrish.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, as I understand it, this bill allows a second-class borough to extend a service area provided that there's no one in that service area, no tax base in that service area, and also that it does not allow a borough to increase the property tax with that expanded service area. Is that right?
Representative Parrish, through the chair, is correct as far as our interpretation. There are no taxpayers in the area that we're talking about, and it wouldn't expand any other borough power.
Would you please remind me which emergency responders have been covering this area in recent years?
Representative Parrish, through the chair, my understanding that would be Cooper Landing, Moose Pass, Hope, and CES, Central Emergency Services, out of Sterling.
Out of where?
Sterling.
Or you'll forgive me, I hope, for my lack of familiarity with the area. Do all of those fall within the Kenai Peninsula Borough?
Yes, they, Representative Parrish, through the chair. Yes, they do.
Excellent. Well, I commend you both for what looks like a bill to do right by the borough.
Representative Westlake.
Thank you, and I really like this. This is a great concept, great idea. And this, I suppose, is more directed to the borough over there that's on the line now. Mm-hmm. Now, running EMT services, I'm familiar with that. I've been there, done that. Now, what's going to happen with the volunteer patchwork that you do have together and knowing sometimes not everyone can be there that you want? What's going to happen with those folks that are volunteering now? Thank you.
Through the chair, Representative Westlake, they actually still remain, exist. What this does is allow the borough to actually assist them volunteer communities. We don't have that option now. The rules around service areas are pretty stringent, and so when Representative Chenault mentioned CES responding, we've, as you mentioned, we've been pushing. We're completely outside the boundaries that was approved by the voters, and so we kind of pushed them limits. So this gives us the opportunity to provide some assistance, some training, a little financial support to them communities to keep these services in place.
Thank you.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess we'll ask a few more questions and then get Mayor Navarro. But a question, how reliable are timber receipts? I have a couple questions. I don't suspect that there, I don't know of any timber harvests allowed in the, I guess it's the Chugach National Forest. There's some salvage from fire falls, but I understand in southeast Alaska there's been concern that the school money provided through timber receipts has been in under threat or has been reduced or imperiled. I guess my question would be to the sponsor, how reliable a source of funding is the timber receipts and payment of lieu of taxes from the federal government? I guess it's USDA.
Representative Sadler, through the chair, that would be a better question for Mayor Navarre.
And Representative Sadler, we'll ask if you hold that, and we'll have invited testimony from Mayor Navarre here in as soon as we're done with questions for our bill sponsors. So, Representative Rauscher.
And I'm not sure this is a question for them, but through the chair, I just want to make comments. As if no voters reside in the service area, I'm not sure whether that means owners have property there or not.
Representatives, do you know the answer to that?
Representative Rauscher, through the chair, that may be a better question for Mayor Navarre. I believe there are some cabins in a couple of places along the road. Mm-hmm. I don't know if those are on federal land and have some kind of federal permit or if they're on private land or just whose land they're on, but I know there are a few cabins in along that spread out along that road or corridor.
Thank you.
Any further questions for our bill presenters? I'll take an indulgence and have one and just kind of ask, just so I'm clear on everything here. So I'm looking at the map that was provided, your color map, and thank you for that. It's very helpful to illustrate the number of responses and kind of where we're talking about. So my understanding of this map is that everything except that very top right Girdwood Portage is part of the Kenai Borough. And what they do is they set up these emergency response areas, which are the central emergency service area there to the left closer to Kenai. And then also is there the Bear Creek one down there near Seward. And then everything else is what we're speaking of, where it's kind of this hodgepodge of volunteerism from Cooper Landing and from Hope way up in the north and from Moose Pass kind of centrally located. And that's so what we're talking about is perhaps the central emergency following the corridor out, perhaps if they wished, is what this bill would allow.
Yeah, Representative Fansler, that's correct. Central Emergency Services area, you can see the line to on the left side of the page where their services stop. And you also see coming out of Seward at the bottom of the page up to Bear Creek where their services, that's their service area. So that's where the service area stops. The rest is the volunteer fire departments, emergency service departments that we have in Cooper Landing and Moose Pass and also up toward Hope. So the rest of that area is in non-service areas.
And follow-up question, if I may, just to make sure. So you listed here that are these the only second-class boroughs that are listed here? Aleutians East Borough, Fairbanks North Star Borough, Ketchikan Gateway Borough, and Kodiak Island Borough, and Matsuniska Borough? Those are the only other second-class boroughs that could be affected by this, so very narrowly tailored.
Through the chair, that's correct to the best of our knowledge.
And generally speaking, have you heard from any of those boroughs about similar issues that they have as like we've been hearing here in the Kenai Peninsula borough?
Mr. Chairman, personally, I have not heard from any of the others. We have asked the Kenai Peninsula borough to contact all the existing second-class boroughs and seeing what comments we may get back from them.
Representative Fansler from me, Representative Knopp, District 30. A couple of things we haven't touched on is our borough owns the two hospitals, and we put together a multi-year healthcare task force study looking how to provide better services, and because of the restrictions of service areas and ability to combine them, so the mayor, the administration of the Kenai Peninsula Borough has proposed this expansion, but it's simply trying to clear up Representative Rauscher's question. There are no private properties. This is simply a service area in regards to the highway corridor that you see highlighted in there. And I think Representative Sadler had mentioned road service area. This is emergency medical service, services only in there. So no road services, no improvements, nothing in regards to roads.
Representative Rauscher.
And I like your answers. I appreciate it. And through the chair, I'm just worried about other boroughs, my borough, Denali borough, whatever borough. And so if the language said if no private properties exist in the service area, will that interrupt what you're trying to do?
Through the chair.
It's just a question.
Through the chair, Representative Rauscher. In this particular case, no. I will say that I don't know. I can't speak for the other boroughs. I think that their issues are probably specific to them. But I can tell you that if we are successful in this quest, it still has to go through the local governing bodies to approve this right. thing. The assemblies still have final say-so. So every second-class borough or their governing body would have ultimately the authority. We're just allowing them to make them decisions.
Mr. Chair, I do think that this is a good bill. I would support it. I'm just making sure that private properties are not going to be taxed now if they're caught in this service area somehow. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to iron all that out in my head. That's all.
Gary Knopp, District 30, Representative Knopp. Mr. Rauscher, yeah, the statute's clearly defined that for people to be inclusive into a service area, they must vote on it currently
right.
in statute.
Exactly.
So this particular, you could not include private properties into this proposal without a vote of those people currently in statute. So.
Yeah, through the chair. Yeah, because I understand that the Madison Borough has like six different reasons for having a service area, and whether it's for gas, whether it's for river management or erosion or road service or whatever. And you're right that the private property owners do have to vote to be included in one of those. And so I was just making sure that language would fit. Thank you.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Chair. And I know we kind of have some questions for Mayor Navarre, but I guess in looking through the background information, including the bill drafting notes, a question to the sponsor. Why did you not put a definition of highway corridor in the bill? Or what would be the definition referred to?
Mm-hmm. Representative Sadler, through the chair, I think if you will look, I believe in your packet there's a legal opinion mm-hmm. on that. It's I was just looking at it again. Do you want to define what a state highway corridor is?
Right.
I guess that would be up to the committee whether they thought that was important enough or if they feel that the legislation is written correctly right now.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Tom Wright, staff to Representative Chenault. I did forward this legal opinion to the borough, and they really didn't feel it was necessary to have that definition. But again, as Representative Chenault pointed out, that's at the purview of the committee.
Mm-hmm. Any further questions? I'll ask one just because it doesn't show my lack of knowledge of the highway corridor issue as well. So I take it if we have someone that's driving on the highway and they lose control of their vehicle and crash into another vehicle on the highway, clearly the highway corridor It sounds like if it's on public lands adjacent to the highway, that's okay, according to this bill. What happens if I do own a private land and I'm pulling out of my driveway and the accident kind of happens right as I'm trying to get onto the highway corridor? Is that something that gets responded to, or how do they determine where that exactly took place?
Representative Fansler, I would assume that they would respond to any accident within the corridor and provide life health assistance to any accident there. So it would do is it would have somebody that would respond versus wondering if somebody will respond, is what I believe this legislation will allow.
And similarly, the same thing, if someone was driving and, say, lost control of their vehicle and hit a tree sitting on private property, that would also be a situation where they would respond?
Representative Fansler, through the chair, that would be my assumption that that's what we're trying to create here, is an emergency response group that can assist folks that are in accidents along that highway corridor.
Okay.
Representative Fansler, Gary Knott, Representative Knott, District 30. Most highway corridors they vary in width, but typically they're about 100 foot each side of center line. So a lot of your driveway approaches are into right-of-way highway corridors way before you get to the actual driving portion of the road. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate that definition. Any other further questions for our bill presenters? Representative Rauscher, is that?
No, that was me. Moving my chair.
Okay. Representative Parrish.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It looks like the only place in the statute that a highway corridor is defined, it's defined as land within 5 miles of the right-of-way of a highway. And that, it does just make me leery to have that as the statutory precedent for this within the state of Alaska. What's up my mind is if, for the purpose of this bill, it were redefined along the lines that Representative Knopp outlined just a few moments ago.
Through the chair, Representative Parrish, I appreciate that. I'm not familiar with that language, sir, and I haven't seen that, so I can't respond to that. The mayor may be able to do that, so I'd have to defer that.
Any further questions or comments for our bill presenters? All right. If no further questions, then we will say thank you very much, Representative Chenault, Representative Knopp, and Mr. Wright. We do have invited testimony, and we will first take it from Mayor Mike Navarre from the Kenai Peninsula Borough. Mayor Navarre, can you hear me?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. Can you please put yourself on the record, and then you may begin your testimony.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the committee, I'm Mike Navarre, Mayor of the Kenai Peninsula Borough. I want to start out by thanking Representative Chenault and Knopp for introducing the legislation and Tom Wright for helping facilitate the information and getting it to the committee. I appreciate the opportunity to testify today to let you know what sort of the method behind our madness is on this highway corridor plan. Here's what the situation is. In Cooper Landing, Hope Area, Moose Pass, there is very little tax base, in part because a great deal of the property is federal forest lands or refuge lands. And because there's little tax base, what has been set up there is volunteer emergency services where they respond, and they're designed to respond to their community and help their community members. What happens in this highway corridor is that they end up trying to fill the gaps between where our central emergency services ends and where Bear Creek Fire and Emergency Services begins. It's a huge gap in coverage that is done now by volunteers. there's not much of a tax base in the area. And what we had found from talking with the community members up there is that they want to respond to their community. They want to help their community. What ends up happening is that on this highway, the people traveling back and forth are people from all over the Kenai Peninsula, or visitors to Alaska, or visitors to Kenai Peninsula from Anchorage and Matsu and Fairbanks, that end up being what a good portion of what they respond to. And it stretches their resources very thin. Cooper Landing in particular is a senior community, so not only is their tax base lower, they also, what we've had is volunteers there who've been volunteering for a long period of time can no longer drive at night because their night vision is not as good. Their stamina is not as good. When they get young people who sign up and want to participate in it, because the area is so large, going all the way up from the Hope cutoff all the way down to Skelak Lake Road, it ends up being a long time in a vehicular accident with a transport. It ends up being as much as 4 or longer hours, often in the middle of the night. And so it stretches their resources very thin. Also, while they get a little bit better volunteer during the summer because there's more people there, during the wintertime, they'll often just call CES or call the dispatch service and say, hey, we just want to let you know we don't have anybody to respond in this area, so you're going to have to cover it. Under the service area structure, we can't technically or legally use services from one service area outside of the boundaries of that service area without some legitimate government purpose or with mayoral approval. But even if you can do that, like if the troopers call us, or then even if you can do it, it utilizes the resources of one service area, so the taxpayers in the central emergency services are paying for response outside of their service area. We can do it in the case of mutual aid and auto aid, but those are prescribed, and the reality is that there is no mutual aid that comes from Cooper Landing to Central Emergency Services. It's all a one-way, and so that's how we've been covering it now. And so the Cooper Landing folks approached us a couple of years ago saying that they didn't want to respond all along the highway. They wanted to reduce the area that they were serving, and we could see that was a problem for visitors and residents of the Kenai Peninsula both who are traveling through Cooper Landing. Because that area is a lot of federal lands there, and we currently get TILT monies, it fluctuates from about 2.1 to 3.1 million a year for all of the federal lands that are on the Kenai Peninsula. Some of it comes from forest receipts, but it comes from the federal treasury, and it's never certain. It's sort of like a revenue sharing from the state. We're never quite sure how much we're going to get from the federal government, but it's been fairly stable for at least the last 20 years or so that I'm familiar with. And what we're proposing is to our assembly is that we would use up to 20% of the revenues that we get from payment in lieu of taxes from the federal government in order to provide some coverage and some resources into this area. By setting up the service area, then we were able to respond outside the service areas and really utilize all of the residents of the borough to help pay for this. Because PILT monies are already fully utilized in the budget, we recognize that if we divert the funds for this purpose without any other changes in our budget, we would have to raise taxes on a borough-wide basis in order to help cover the funds that we're using for this service. And we're being very upfront with that with our assembly. It really is a kind of a creative way to get coverage in an area that nobody has really stepped up and taken responsibility for except the Cooper Landing Emergency Services volunteers who end up getting burnt out. What we have been doing is asking CES volunteers to spend time up in Cooper Landing in housing. They're currently paying an EMT to support from the training program at Kenai Peninsula College for paramedics. We're having people stay up there, allowing them to stay there, and paying them a very small stipend. All this really allows us to do is to, if we can get the assembly to agree, is to provide some coverage for emergency services in an area that's not otherwise adequately covered. We've checked with all the other second-class boroughs. None of them have any opposition. It is purely optional to a second-class borough whether or not they do this. There are no owners. This is essentially the road corridor. There's no voters in it. It's already actually authorized in state statute under Title 29-35-490A2. It says all owners of real property in the service area consent in writing to the exercise of power if no voters reside in the service area. The problem that we have and the reason we're asking for this change is you can imagine that we get into discussions with the state Department of Transportation, the Federal Highways, landowners from the refuge and the Forest Service, all of the different agencies having to give permission, and at the same time worrying and getting all the attorneys wrapped up and twisted around the axle over who ends up what type of liability in this corridor. So what we're asking for is a simplification of what's already, or a clarification of what's already authorized in state statutes so that we can, using borough resources, step up and provide coverage to visitors and residents alike.
Thank you, Mayor Navarre. We're now going to have questions, and I believe Representative Rauscher and then Representative Sadler and then Representative Westlake will be our order. Representative Rauscher, questions for Mayor Navarre.
Thank you, through the chair, Mayor. I don't even know if you might be able to help me here, but in the bill, it's referencing section Alaska Statute 29.35.490, which you actually mentioned before. And in there, under Section A, you talk about a second-class borough, which is joined in with the denoting a first-class city. And then you go on to Section C, and it talks about second- and third-class boroughs. What's the difference between a second- and third-class borough here, to where they have to denote each other differently?
You know, through the chair, Representative Rauscher, I off the top of my head, I'm not sure of the difference. It goes to what powers they're authorized to exercise as general government powers and what are optional powers to the different classifications of municipalities and boroughs. So there's a little difference. It's prescribed in Title 29. I just don't know where.
I kind of had that thought in my head also, but I was wondering what it actually was. Can anyone answer that here? Through the chair?
I can find out for you in a couple of seconds.
I realize there's obviously a power difference here. I just wanted to know what the difference was. You know?
Certainly,
we can, including the first class city and why it's now all of a sudden second class borough may exercise the power of a first class city. So I'm trying to get the understanding of what that is. Also,
we can get a synopsis for you for the next meeting or work on it with your office. Follow-up, Representative Rauscher?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Representative Sadler?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Mayor, just curious, how much money does the borough currently get under PILTER, generally regularly receive from payment lieu taxes? And you say you want to use about 20% of that, and I guess I'd ask, what would that imply for the other residents of the borough? How much would they have to pay in a millage rate to make up that 20% of your PILT for this road service area?
Yeah, well, we're... through the chair, Representative Sadler, we currently get a little over $3 million in federal PILT monies. 20% of the PILT monies would be equal to a little over $500,000. And the reason that we're going to ask the assembly up to that to utilize those funds is it represents about 20% of the federal land areas in within the Kenai Peninsula borough. So we think that using up to 20% in order to provide this service makes some sense. And quite frankly, I'm not sure what the assembly will say to this, but it makes sense from our standpoint. This is the best avenue we found to provide the coverage and at the same time a way to pay for it at no cost to the state.
Right. Follow up.
And I don't know to what extent the voters in the Kenai Peninsula borough will be willing to raise their taxes by $500,000 a year. It could be a negligible amount, or it could be seen as a way to maintain the safe flow of tourists and fishermen down to the peninsula during the summertime. So that might be fine. But what would happen if this law were to pass and the borough did not support, or the voters did not indicate their support for this creating this RSA? Because actually all we're doing with this legislation is enabling the borough to do this with the support of the voters. Would there be any deleterious effects on the borough if this law passed, but you did not get approval at the local level?
There would be, through the chair, Representative Sadler, there would be really no negative impact. The authority would just exist in the state statutes so that at some point, if we chose to go at it again, we'd be able to provide coverage. The bigger concern is that there is no coverage in these areas right now, and oftentimes these areas also don't have good cell phone coverage. And so when travelers are going back and forth through these areas, and I think, we expect that if we get in an accident, somebody's going to respond, and the reality is in these areas it is a concern. And if we don't set up something like this, and, I don't know whether the Assembly will approve it. It does not go to a vote in the borough because there are no residents living within the service area, and residents of the service area who approve services for a service area under the state statutes. So it would be up to the Assembly, and whether or not they'll approve it, we'll see. We think it makes, meaning our group that identified this as a way to resolve the issue of legality of spending money outside the service area, coverage for both residents who live in the area who are driving on that highway, but more importantly, clear throughout the Kenai Peninsula borough and throughout Alaska, and even visitors to Alaska who are traveling on that highway corridor where there is no response, and that is a concern of ours, and so we're just trying to come up with a creative way in order to address that concern so that we treat our visitors in the appropriate manner.
Follow-up, representatives. Actually, I was considering another creative way to maybe raise some money. You could charge $20 fee for a southbound toll and two red salmon for a northbound toll. That might raise some revenue for you to pay for costs. But seriously, though, a question would be, are the residents currently feeling any pinch in their pockets for the emergency services provided under the make-do system you have right now? Would this elite, this money balance out any other costs that people are currently paying your borough?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, actually, there's a area that the Cooper Landing Emergency Services, but it's not a service area. Again, the taxable value in that area because of all the federal lands is not that significant. They do an extraordinary job of raising funds locally from the businesses, from different fundraising efforts in the community, and they're spending, I don't know how much they're spending currently, but they anticipate that they are deficit spending on an annual basis about $40,000, and having to try to raise that additional funds, and it's just, it gets to be too much to have to serve their community and at the same time spending a lot of their resources well outside the community on the federal, on the state highways.
Very good. And I guess the, what was the last question, I guess? I just lost it, sorry.
We'll come back to you, Representative Sadler, when you remember it. I've got Representative Westlake, then Representative Parrish. Oh,
you've got it?
I do.
Follow-up representative.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, would you have any thoughts as to how wide the definition of a highway corridor should be? We have the Dalton Highway reference in the statute, 5 miles on both sides. Representative Knopp has referenced 100 feet on either side of the center line. Have you any thoughts as to what an appropriate highway corridor width might be if we wanted to define that further in this bill?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, you know, I don't think that it's critical, quite frankly, because we're still going to provide the responses, and in the areas outside of the corridor, we'll still have Cooper Landing or maybe even Central Emergency. But the reality is that a big part of the concern and the problem is that more than half of the responses that they have from Cooper Landing are not residents of Cooper Landing. They're somebody else driving on the highway through the community. And this just really allows us the legal authority to set up the structure that can provide an additional level of coverage.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Representative?
By the way, I would say if you'd like to do the $20 toll, we would not oppose that.
We'll talk.
Representative Westlake.
Okay, this is Representative Westlake. Thank you, Mayor Navarro. I like what I'm seeing in here, and I'd really like to see this happen. First, getting the authority out there, and probably exploring the idea of more PILT money on that road would be good, rather than having to pay the fee over here. I've been on that road. There is a lot of lonely stretches of road out there, and I really commend you for bringing this forward. You look at the other side where it comes out, where your service area comes out, and that corridor over there to Girdwood, I mean, that we've all heard that. And then these, the accidents that you have in this, I can't thank you enough for bringing this forward. Knowing it's coming out of your coffers, I kind of feel badly about that, so I would really encourage you to look for more PILT money out of there. So thank you for what you're doing.
Representative Parrish.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I join Representative Westlake in commending the effort. It seems like a wise choice to use borough-level resources to solve a borough-level problem. Would the response... Would the emergency responses largely be provided by the Central Emergency Services?
Through the chair, Representative Parrish, I think that some of it would, because it's the largest professional department in close proximity, which means about 40 miles longer, depending on if it's up by Hope, it's much, much further away. And so it allowed the ability to assist in that corridor and give us the legal authority to do it. And additionally, if we utilize the PILT monies, it allows us the ability to access grant funding and other sources of funds in order to help supplement this service in order to make sure that we don't, utilize too much of borough funds that are currently being used other places in the budget. And it really comes down to a question of priorities, and in this case, we think that this service is critically important.
Would you follow? Would you please remind me, for the Turnagain Pass area in particular, I noticed that it's significantly closer to Portage and Girdwood than any substantial community in your borough. Have they been picking up the slack there, taking care of the people who are unfortunate enough to get into accidents?
Through the chair, Representative Parrish, there is Cooper Landing has a volunteer fire department and EMS, and they cover a good portion of that area. They are also part of the municipality of Anchorage.
Thank you.
I've got Representative Rauscher, then Representative Sadler.
Thank you. Through the chair, I was just wondering, Mayor, is this going to, equipment-wise, how this may affect you one way or the other, or whether not at all?
Well, through the chair, Representative Rauscher, in this case, they've got some equipment in Cooper Landing. They don't have the same type or as much equipment as Central Emergency Services some of the other service areas that are professional service areas, but they do have the equipment in order to respond. They just end up not having the manpower because it's all volunteer hours. And again, if it's a young family, takes them away from their family, sometimes multiple days in a week or even an evening. And then in addition to that, the senior population, some of whom love to volunteer, can't drive at night, can't lift as much weight as they could 10 years ago. And so and many of them leave for part of the time during the winter. And so it creates gaps. It's not a consistent level of support. And by identifying some resources, we can pay a stipend, we can get, and what we've been successful in doing so far, where Cooper Landing pays a stipend, is getting some folks from our paramedic program at the college, getting volunteers who are professional responders within Central Emergency Services on their weekends and days off. Sometimes they are helping out by going up, staying in Cooper Landing, and being there to respond. And it also gives us, this would also give us the ability to coordinate all of the efforts, including training, stipends, workers' comp, and other types of coverage that would I guess, hopefully allow us to keep volunteers working in this area.
Well, through the chair, I appreciate the area. I got the pleasure of going in an ambulance one time from Cooper Landing all the way down to Kenai and Soldotna. And I appreciate the people out there and the work that they do, the volunteers that did come to our situation. And I understand the long drive. I understand the areas in between. So I appreciate this bill. Thank you.
Representative Sadler.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to pick this bill, and it sounds like a good idea. We're just trying to understand the full implications of it. But I guess I'd ask Mr. Mayor if you or anybody supporting this bill would give us a definition of emergency services that would encompass all you need to do and not include things you don't want to have happen. I'm not sure. I was looking through the statute for the Chapter 35, looking for a definition of emergency services, whether that includes public safety, fire, emergency medical services. I just don't know that there's an appropriate definition of emergency services.
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, I'm not sure how it's defined, but what we're intending for this purpose is fire and EMS. The law enforcement powers is something that I think would be somewhat more concerning to us, since the Kenai Peninsula Borough does not have police powers as a borough, and having law enforcement, volunteer law enforcement officers creates a whole additional set of concerns. And so what we are talking about here, and what we intend to have it restricted to, is fire and emergency medical response.
And would you, at the follow-up, would you have any objection to us define that narrowly enough to encompass that fire and EMS services in this bill?
You know, again, through the chair, Representative Sadler, I don't think that it's necessary. In the letter that you should have from the Department of Public Safety, they recognize the distinction.
Great. Thank you. Are there any other questions for Mayor Navarre? If not, I will just say thank you very much for your testimony, Mayor Navarre. I, too, have had the pleasure to drive through the borough on multiple occasions, and it is a glorious drive, but it's also good to know that one can be safe on that drive. So thank you very much for your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and if committee members have questions, feel free to either funnel them through Representative Chenault and Tom Wright from his office, or call us directly, and we'll be happy to try to get those answered.
Thank you. All right.
with that being our invited testimony, we're now going to open public testimony. Public testimony is open. It appears that I have one person online, George Pierce from Kasilov. George, could you please state your name and affiliation for the record, and then you can provide your testimony, and we'll be giving you 2 minutes and then questions if we have any for you.
My name's George Pierce. I live in Kasilov, Alaska, and thank you for taking my testimony. There's several problems I see here with this. First of all, the PIL, payment in lieu of taxes, that'll go into the general fund, and we all know when it goes into the general fund, it could be spent anywhere. Mayor Navarre mentioned roughly $3 million of federal money going into the project, and 20% of that would be roughly $5,000. Do you realize what that would buy? Probably not much. You're going to need a firehouse, emergency vehicles, all the stuff to go with that, trained staff, health care, person tours, and it goes on and on. He's already said it's going to be federal funded, but then he adds that the residents will end up paying for it. The Community of Hope right now is conducting business with the borough to put in sidewalks along the highway. You know, they're going to need staff. They're already paying for staff up there. They already said that. I was a volunteer fireman for many years, and it helped. If that's all you're going to do is protect your house from fire and emergencies for medical, volunteer fire services is perfect for that. We cannot afford to just keep putting these major projects up there and expecting to buy and build all these infrastructures. This is a bad idea. I do not approve of this, so the borough will end up putting this on the backs of the Kenai residents. And we're in a deficit right now. We cannot afford this, and the borough, people that live down in this borough just voted on tax, certain taxes being raised, and they were all turned down. So this is just another scam of the borough trying to get more land to where they can control, and it's not all about the emergencies. Every time I go through there and there's an accident, there's always troopers or an emergency vehicle there. So if they're worried about more protection for emergency service along the highway corridor, maybe the legislators ought to give them some more police protection. So that's my comment.
Thank you, Mr. Pierce. Are there any questions for Mr. Pierce from the committee? Seeing no questions, I want to thank you once again, Mr. Pierce, for your testimony, and thank you for taking the time out of your day to call in and testify.
I hope you don't pass this. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I see no one else online, we will find out, is there anyone in the room that is wishing to testify? Seeing no one in the room wishing to testify, I am now going to close public testimony. Public testimony is closed. At this time, is there any additional discussion or questions that may have arisen for the committee to take up at this time? I am not seeing any discussion nor question. Representative Sadler.
Thank you. I'll just telegraph. I'd like to work with the sponsor to see about getting a definition of emergency services and possibly a definition of a highway corridor to see if that. I'll discuss it with him to see if it's necessary and beneficial, but just to telegraph.
You. Thank you, Representative Sadler. Representative Welsher.
Thank you. Through the chair, just in light of the last the public testimony. Could we have some sort of a comment from Kenai on equipment or buildings or sidewalks that may be needed, PERS, TERS, all that stuff that was mentioned on whether that's going to be involved here.
Mayor Navarre, would you like to comment, given that opportunity?
This is Larry Pursley, the Chief of Staff to the Mayor. He stepped out, but I can address that question if you'd like.
Certainly. Representative Rauscher's question stands.
Sure. Through the Chair, Representative, if I understood correctly, the question was what about buildings and other improvements? Currently, the borough is not contemplating any construction, new fire stations as part of this emergency services area, which would be limited literally to the highway right-of-way. We would use existing staff, existing facilities to cover it. If in the future the borough, in consultation with the existing emergency service providers, Cooper Landing and Hope and Moose Pass and Central Emergency Services, decided that they needed additional equipment to cover this, that would be a borough decision to make for the borough assembly and a borough financial decision as to how to pay for it. I hope that answers the question.
Yes, thank you very much.
Sorry, can we have our most recent question restate the name for the, so we can have it on the record officially?
Sure. Larry Pursley, Chief of Staff, Kenai Borough, to Kenai Borough.
Thank you, Mr. Pursley. Okay. Mr. West, or Representative Westlake.
Yes, thank you. I'm starting to get a little concerned. We're starting to get, for me personally, just caught up in the axle about that service area, and for people that pull out, take a detour, go, you know, hiking out there, get mauled by a bear, they're not on the road, or else a snow machine or an avalanche or something like that. I would hope that the thing is going to be, if you need help, we're going to be there. It isn't a matter of borders. Granted, they're supposed to be on the highway, but if the call for help comes, that we don't make it so tight that we're sitting over here and they're saying, sorry, I can't help you. So it's just something I want to keep in mind. Representative Knopp.
Representative Knopp, it seems like you would wish to respond to that. Please introduce yourself for the record. And
Representative Knopp, District 30, through the chair. Just not particularly that question, but two things. For Representative Rauscher, Section 29, 200, 210, and 220 define Class 1, 2, and 3 boroughs, so it's pretty intense to read here, but 210 and 220 will define the three boroughs. In regards to highway corridors, seeing what was on the page down there through Representative Parrish's question, the Dalton Highway Corridor is the only one I know of that extends out to 5 miles, and that is for the hunting restrictions, archery only in that 5 mile corridor. So if we're concerned about corridors, we might define that as DOT right-of-ways, you know, if we're more concerned about that, because they are definitely limited and they vary in widths. But if the committee has concerns about corridors.
Any further comments or questions from our committee? Okay. Seeing no further comments, questions, discussion at this time, we're going to hold this bill for consideration on Thursday, March 9th, starting at 8 a.m. And with that, this meeting of the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee is going to be adjourned at 9:09 a.m.